ask that you turn with me to our sermon text for this morning, Zechariah chapter 5. Prophet Zechariah chapter 5. We'll be looking this morning at verses 5 through 11. There is an outline in your bulletin which you could follow along with the sermon in there. Let's first look at Zechariah chapter 5, starting at verse 5. Let's hear the word of our God. Then the angel who was speaking with me went out and said to me, "Lift up now your eyes and see what this is going forth." And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "This is an ephah going forth." Again he said, "This is their appearance in all the land. Behold, the lead cover was lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the ephah." Then he said, "This is wickedness," and he threw her down in the middle of the ephah and cast a lead weight on its opening. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, and they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heavens. And I said to the angel who was speaking with me, "Where are they taking the ephah?" Then he said to me, "To build a temple for her in the land of Shinar, and when it is prepared, she'll be set there on her own pedestal." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wondrous gift of your word and pray that this morning you would give us ears to hear and minds to understand your word. We pray that you would send forth your spirit with your word, doing its good work in us, drawing us to the Savior, conforming us to his image and equipping us to live and serve in his kingdom in such a way as would bring him glory. We pray that you'd be with your servant, guard his mind and tongue, that he may only declare that which is true according to your word. And as your word is set forth and explained this morning, may your name be exalted and may your church be strengthened. In the name of our Lord, we ask this. Amen. Who likes garbage? Unless you're Oscar the Grouch, you probably don't love garbage much, do you? I have a lot of experience in garbage. I mean, my family owned a recycling business, so I grew up in basically what is nothing more than high-class garbage. I could remember somewhat fondly this Saturday morning's being doused with stale beer and soda as the recycling machine would go through and all the cans were lifted up and all the swamp water and river water that people would go down by the river up there by the Passaic River and get cans from there, and you'd just be splashed with all this stuff. It was terrible. It was messy. And you'd hate to kind of live in that. Imagine if that's how you lived among all that like squalor and all this garbage and stuff. You may be old enough to remember when there were the great garbage strikes in New York City back in probably the 80s or so. And, you know, any other people could strike and the people could last quite a long time. But when the garbage men struck, it didn't last long because you just see garbage piling up outside the streets there. And people do not want to live in garbage. But if you take the garbage out regularly, kind of your house stays nice and clean, right? You could live in it. It's not so bad. It's cleaned up. Well, that's kind of what we're going to see here in this vision that Zechariah is having. He's having a vision of Israel's garbage day. In the vision prior to this, you may remember a few weeks ago when we looked at this, when he saw the flying scroll with the law of God on it pronouncing the curse. And the scroll went out, and whoever was still living in their sins, whoever had not come and found salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, who treated God's grace as it was nothing, was just going to live in their sin, that the curse would come upon their house and destroy it, and it would just be rubble, would be destroyed down to the very bottom like they would do with a house that had leprosy in it. Well, now we see the follow-up to that. Once this garbage has been identified by the law of God, what happens to it? We're going to see here how God removes the wickedness, the evil from his people. So let's take a look at this vision, the seventh of the visions that Zechariah is having this one night. It starts in verse 5. It says, the angel who is speaking to him, this interpreting angel who has gone along with him throughout all the visions, he says, lift up your eyes and see what's going forth. So Zechariah looks up again and to see what he's going to see this time. And this time he doesn't see a giant billboard flying through the sky. What he sees is an ephah. Now, an ephah is a measuring thing. You could just think of kind of a big basket or a big bowl. There's varying amounts of what people say could fit into it, whether it's many bushels or so. But for our sakes, if you've ever gone crabbing, you have those bushel buckets, those wood things that you can kind of put on top. It's something like that. It's something that would be used to carry grain or something that you would fill it in. So he sees an ephah flying through the air. And he says, what is it? A good question, right? Why am I seeing this ephah flying through the air? And he says, this is the ephah going forth. And again, he said, this is their appearance in all the land. Now, either by appearance, this can mean this symbolizes something, or there's a Hebrew word here that if you take the word for appearance, if you just take a little line that goes about halfway and just extend it a little bit to a straight line, it changes the word from appearance to iniquity. And in fact, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament that was done before the time of Jesus, translates it that way and says, this is iniquity. Now, that would seem to fit because in a moment, he sees a woman there and he says, this woman, this is iniquity, this is sin. So what it seems like what it's saying is this ephah, this is the great garbage basket that's flying through the sky. This is what God is going to put the sins of his people in. So whether you take it as appearance, it says, well, this is an appearance of something. Well, an appearance of what? It's an appearance of basically an ephah being used as a large trash basket or a large trash can, or this is iniquity. This is where their sin is held. He goes forward, he says, and behold, a lead cover was lifted up. So on top of this garbage can thing was a lead cover, a heavy cover. And it's lifted up so you could see what's inside the garbage can. And we find that the garbage can isn't empty. So then he said, this is wickedness. And he threw her down. So there's a woman inside of it that he calls wickedness. There's a woman sitting inside and she personifies wickedness or evil. And she's inside. He's lifted up the lid so you can see what's in there. There's wickedness inside. He stuffs her back in, slams the lid back on so she can't get out. Says this is wickedness inside. So what it's done is he's gone and he's collected the evil out of the land and he's put it in the trash can, so to speak, in the picture of a woman. Okay. Now, some would say what he's referring to here is this is Israel. He's thrown Israel into the basket. And some are saying this is a picture of Israel being taken out into and cast out in exile again. But it doesn't say this is the people. It just says this is their iniquity. Seems as if what he's doing is taking the iniquity out of the land. He's not taking the people out of the land. What he's doing is taking the iniquity and putting it into a trash can now, and now he's going to remove that. Because then he looks up and he says, then he said, this is wickedness. He threw her down in the middle of the ephah and cast a lead weight on its opening. He says, then I lifted my eyes and looked, and there were two women now coming. So there's a woman inside the trash can, and now there's two women coming, but they're not like any women you've ever seen. They have wings like a stork. We don't see storks much in New Jersey. If you've ever gone down to Florida, you see storks from time to time, or if you may have seen one in the zoo. They have big, big wings. And the idea is here, they have wings to travel far distance. And these women with wings like storks and the wind in their wings, they're lifting up this trash can, as it were. They're lifting up the ephah between heaven and earth. So now they've picked it up, the trash. All the iniquity, the sin of the people has been thrown in there in the picture of a woman. The lid is placed on it so it won't get out. It can't spill out and it can't get out on its own. And now here the trash collectors come to pick it up. These two women with wings in their way, with wings like storks, and they pick up the trash can and where are we going to take it? He said, where are they taking the ephah? Then he said to me, to build a temple for her, or literally a house for her, in the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar is the old word for Babylon. Remember, they just came out of Babylon. They had been in captivity in Babylon that whole time. Why is he using the word Shinar instead of Babylon? Shinar is the ancient word back when the Tower of Babel was built. And it's probably referring to not just one country like Babylon as opposed to all the other countries as being evil. It's taking this stuff out into the godless world, out into the world that rejects the God of Israel. So he's taking the stuff there. And what's going to happen when they bring the garbage there? This is very interesting when you look. It's not going to be dumped there on a pile like we take our garbage and throw it into a landfill. Once the garbage gets there, they're going to set it up and worship it. It says a temple will be made for in the land of Shinar when it's prepared, and it shall be set there upon her own pedestal. And the picture here is this. That which needs to be removed out of Israel, Israel's garbage, Israel's sin, is what is worshipped by the unbelieving world. And isn't that true in our world today? That what God declares as sinful is what the world worships. It's what they desire. So God, the Word of God declares, you know, sexual immorality as sinful and something we need to refrain from. And what does our world tell us? No, sexual immorality is something we worship. We worship at the altar of sexual immorality. The Bible says homosexuality is wrong. What do we find on our TV and in our culture now? No, no, we should actually worship homosexuality. That's a wonderful thing. Okay, what's happening here is that we get this picture that we see throughout time. That which God despises and hates, the unbelieving world worships. So here's the vision we have. It's pretty simple. What we're seeing here is Israel's, as it were, moral garbage day, Zechariah is picturing. That the law of God and its curse, as we saw in the last vision, goes out. It identifies what's the garbage. The curse comes down upon it, and then the garbage is picked up. All the iniquity is thrown into this garbage can. The lid's put on it, and it's shipped out of Israel. Because God can't dwell with his people in their sin. God is a holy God. And he can't stand to look upon sin. If he sees sin, he has to curse it. So if God's going to dwell with his people again and dwell in their midst, all the garbage has to be removed. And that's what Zechariah sees a picture of, is God removing the sin of his people from the land so that his presence could be among them again. Because if you know your Bibles well, you might go back to Ezekiel, who when Babylon was coming in to destroy Israel in their sin, and the Israelites were being brought into exile, he had a vision of the glory of God leaving the temple. That was God wasn't going to be with his people anymore because of their sin. He couldn't bear to stay there with them anymore. Well, God's going to restore his people. Now, remember, they're building the new temple. Well, how can God dwell with his people again? Unless he removes all the garbage. Unless he removes their sin far from them. But once he removes their sin from them, then they could be restored to fellowship. And he could live in their presence, and they could live in his presence. And there could be rejoicing again. And there could be great joy. So Zechariah foresees a day in which all the iniquity and wickedness will be removed from the people of God. And they might enjoy his presence again. Well, when is this fulfilled then? Zechariah saw it as something into the future. Because we know at that time it wasn't fulfilled. Because if you read the later prophets, read the last of the Old Testament prophets before John, read Malachi, and what do we see? The people were still living in sin. They were polluting God's offerings. They were living in a way that wasn't pleasing God. We get to the time of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist is still telling the people, you need to repent. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. You need to turn from your sins. So when is this vision that Zechariah has fulfilled? Well, it begins to be fulfilled in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus comes. He's born of a virgin, born to take the place of his people. And he keeps the law of God perfectly throughout his life, but he also bears their sin upon the cross. On the cross, what did God do? It's as it were, all the iniquity that was in the ephah, instead of going out to Shinar, instead is placed upon Jesus. The sin of God's people is placed on Jesus on the cross. And then God curses Jesus. Tells us in the book of Hebrews, right? Jesus suffered where? Outside the camp. The idea is that's where the cursed stuff goes. It goes outside. Well, Jesus is brought outside of Jerusalem, outside the camp, and he's cursed. Why? Because on the cross, he's filthy and disgusting in the sight of God, because he's covered with your and my garbage, our moral garbage. But then God destroys it on the cross. He delivers his people from their sins. Those who are in Christ by faith now are perfectly holy in the sight of God. We've been declared holy. Jesus isn't just our justification, he's also our sanctification. He's the one who makes us holy. And we are in principle before God holy. Right now, you, in all of your sin that you know you've committed, even just from the time you've left your house to get to church today, how does God view you in Christ? It's perfectly holy. Because he's given to you who trust Christ an alien righteousness. He's given you Christ's righteousness. He's taken off your filthy garments, the clothes you wore when you were playing in the garbage, as it were. He's removed that from you, and he's put the righteousness of Christ upon you now. So Christ, in his first coming, comes to begin this removal of the moral garbage. He takes it all upon himself. When it's on him, he suffers the wrath and curse of God upon the cross. And then he gives to his people a perfect righteousness so that we could stand before a holy God. But it continues this garbage day even now through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church. The Holy Spirit is sanctifying the church and sanctifying Christians through his work. What he's more and more enabling us to do is to repent and believe more and more, to confess our sins. Confession is like moral garbage, and we set out the garbage. We keep messing ourselves up. How do we set it out again instead of living in it? Well, we confess our sins, and God continues to cleanse us of our sins. God is cleansing his church through the work of church discipline. He's removing people from the church. Those who want to continue living in their sin, he removes out of the church so that his people might be a holy people. And then at the last day, at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there'll be a final moral garbage day when finally there'll be the great separation. When we will be separated as the people of God, we'll be separated from the very presence of sin. There'll be no more sin in us. We'll be perfectly glorified. And there'll be no more sin around us because God will finally remove it to the great land of Shinar, we could call it, to hell itself. Cast out of God's kingdom forever and ever. Cast out of the presence of God. There's a sense in which what we are seeing here in Zechariah is exactly what we talked about in our Christmas sermon. Remember, we talked about what is the Christmas message? A Savior has been born. What does he do? He comes to save us from the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin. What is Zechariah seeing? Under a different vision, he's seeing the same thing. He's seeing the day when God comes to deal with the moral filth, the moral garbage of his people, to deal with their sin and their iniquity. And he removes it in Christ. Jesus comes to take our sin upon himself. And he removes it. We don't remove it from ourselves. We don't clean ourselves up. He removes our sin. He pays for it. He gives us a righteousness. And then throughout our lives, he cleans us up more and more. As we keep kind of like the pig that returns to the mud, he keeps cleaning us up as we keep going, getting involved in sin again. And he will come at the last day to totally remove us from the very presence of sin so that we can live in his presence with great joy. So how does this affect your life? This kind of cryptic vision of Zechariah so many years ago, how does that affect you where you live right now today? Well, first of all, in order to enjoy the presence and blessing of God, your moral garbage has to be removed. See, you can't live with God and live in your filth. I mean, there's people, you watch like the hoarder shows or whatever, you say, how do these people live in this filth? Nobody's going to visit them. I mean, and we've known people, not just hoard stuff, but they'll hoard garbage. I remember when I was a child, there was a murder in our town. Our town didn't have many murders. So when somebody was killed, that was a big deal. And one of the things they found when they went into the house is the way this family was living when this murder happened, there was just trash bags everywhere. There was animals that they had never been let out. They would just go in the house. I mean, they were like, how did people even live in this? And people said, when they heard about how the house, it was almost, that was more horrible than the murder itself was. How could people live like this? Well, that's how we live in our sin. How can God live in our presence? How can we enjoy God's presence if we're living in our sin? If we're living in all this garbage. So if you want to enjoy the presence of God, you have to have your moral garbage taken out and removed. Too many people want to say, well, Jesus wants, I love Jesus. You know, Jesus is my friend. I want Jesus to hang out with me, but I don't want to clean the house. I just want to live in my filth and have Jesus come and just enjoy the filth with me. You can't. He's too holy. It's as it were, Jesus is allergic to sin. He can't come into your house. He's allergic to that. He can't come into your life when it's filled with all this garbage. But he doesn't tell you clean up your house, does he? And that's not what the vision's saying. The vision wasn't, okay, Israel, go and clean up. God's the one who cleaned up Israel. God's the one who collected all. God identified the garbage, and God's the one who collected the garbage, and God's the one who removed the garbage. So you need to make sure that you have come to Christ in repentance and faith. Because that's when God takes care of your garbage problem for you. Jesus, then, when you have come to Christ in repentance and faith, he takes away all your moral garbage, all that filth and sin from your life. He removes it from you by taking it upon himself on the cross. And then he sends his Spirit to you to do this work inside of you of constantly cleaning you up more and more each day. Each day helping you to die to sin and live unto righteousness. Every day helping you to put off sin, to put off wickedness, and to put on righteousness. This is the work of God the Son and God the Holy Spirit in your life. And unless you have this, you cannot enjoy the presence of God. And God will not be in your presence for blessing. So this morning, ask yourself, have you come to know Christ in repentance and faith? Have you been united to him? Are you clothed in the righteousness of Christ? Or are you still living in your filth and in your sin? Secondly, you need to daily be putting out the garbage again. You know, no matter how clean your house is, if you don't take the garbage out regularly, it's going to get filled up with more garbage, isn't it? And that's where God tells us in John 1:9, which we read earlier. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Now, he's talking to Christians who already have been made perfectly holy in Jesus, who are clothed in Christ's righteousness, but he says daily we still do sin. We still do fall back into sin. So what do we do with it? Well, we set it out at the curb, as it were, by confessing our sin daily. And daily he renews us. So throughout the Christian life, we continue to repent, we continue to believe, we continue to confess, we continue to be cleansed. Then you need to praise the Lord for what he's done for you. See, our problem is we don't have a great enough conception of how wicked and sinful we really are. Because we have a hard time getting over this terrible habit of self-righteousness in which we always look at somebody else and say, their house is a bigger mess than mine. Their life stinks so much worse than mine does. Instead of saying, it doesn't matter how bad somebody else's life is. My life is a mess. My life stinks before a holy God. And I could do nothing about it on my own. So praise the Lord for what he's done for me, that he has taken away my sin. He has cleaned me up. He has made me pure and made me holy. And you fall on your face and worship him for the wondrous thing he's done for you. We're bored in worship. We want to just get on to the next thing all the time because we really have not taken stock of how wicked we really are. Of how in our sin, how unlovable we are to a holy God. How that God can have nothing to do with us in our sin. We constantly just kind of want to pat ourselves on the back and say, at least I'm not as bad as those people. At least I haven't done those things those people have doing. And because we do that, we don't really worship. We're not really thankful. Because in the end, we always kind of look at it some way and say, well, Jesus has to have somebody. He has to have a people. And why wouldn't he take me? I mean, I'm better than so many other people. And we almost say, Jesus should be kind of happy to have me. Yeah, I'm not perfect, but I'm not a train wreck like these other people. There's something in me to work with, at least. And if you're honest with yourself, this is our problem, isn't it? Because why else don't we live lives of worship? Why are we not astounded by the grace of God we see here in Zechariah? Why does that not floor us? And we just have people wanting to stand up and just say, amen, hallelujah, praise, look what he's done. Why do we just sit back like, yeah, I've heard the gospel before. You know, is there something else we could, you know, what else we could do? Can we move it along? It's getting late. We smell coffee back there. Why is that? Because we don't really get it, do we? We don't really see the sinfulness of our sin. And because we don't see the sinfulness of our sin, we do not really understand the astounding grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That He sees us there in our own filth, not trying to clean ourselves up in our filth, rejoicing in our filth, worshiping our garbage like the outside world does. And He in His great grace comes. And for reasons known only to Himself, He has chosen you and me to show His grace to. And He has gone and He has identified our garbage and He's picked it up and He's taken it upon Himself. And then He's cursed it by cursing His own Son. And then He gave you a righteousness that is glorious that you could never purchase or earn on your own. And He makes you perfectly clean so that you can enjoy His presence. And that ought to blow you away. That ought to just absolutely astound you. And if it doesn't, then maybe again you need to cry out to the Lord, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, give me eyes to see because I'm not seeing the squalor in which I live. Lord, let me see how filthy my life really is so I could really understand Your grace and what You've done for me. Here in Zechariah 5, we see this wonderful work of the Lord that should drive us to worship. And then being cleaned up, how much more should it motivate us now to seek to live lives of holiness? See, what is the modern gospel everyone wants to hear? Jesus did it all, don't bother me. I want to continue to live in my sin and go to heaven. Well, Jesus takes care of your sin, but once you realize how sinful your sin is, once you realize how much your sin stinks, how filthy it is in the eyes of God, you're not going to want to live in that anymore, are you? You're going to say, well, what I want to do is live a life of purity. I want to live a life of holiness to the Lord. I don't want to keep living in my sin. So now you end up being like David and saying, oh, how I love Your law. Why love the law? Isn't that a curse to us? Now I love the law because it shows me how to stay clean. Now I love the law because it shows me how to be what God wants me to be. It helps me more and more to stay in the presence of God, to enjoy Him, to bring Him glory. But if we won't see this, if we won't allow Jesus, as it were, to cleanse us of our sin, to cleanse us of our garbage through repentance and faith, then what is left for us? Well, it's ultimately to be thrown out with the trash. The word Gehenna, where we get the word hell from, what it referred to in hell was just outside of Israel, a trash pit, where they'd take everything and burn everything. It would just be a continual fire burning. And that was Jesus' picture of hell again and again throughout the Gospels. You had this very visual picture of out there where it stinks and smells and all the trash, but that's hell. Well, that's where the garbage goes. If you will not be cleaned up by the Lord Jesus Christ, if you refuse to come to Him in repentance and faith, because in your own self-righteousness, you're unwilling to admit that you really stink, that you're really a sinner, then all that's left for you is to be taken out on that final trash day and be cast upon the trash heap to be burned up for all eternity. That's the only other alternative. Either you will be found clean in Christ Jesus, or you'll be cast out forever. So which will it be for you? In Zechariah 5:5-11, the prophet foresees a day in which all of the iniquity and wickedness of the people of God will be removed once for all, and then we can enjoy His blessed presence. If your iniquity and wickedness is not removed in Christ, you will be cast out. But it doesn't have to be that way for you. If you would just trust the promises of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to Him in repentance and faith, He removes the garbage for you. He makes you clean and enables you to stand in His presence and enjoy His blessing. This day, won't you make sure that your garbage has been taken care of through the Lord Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that on our own, we think we're pretty much okay. Because we have this terrible habit, Father, of always gauging our own behavior based on people who are worse than us, or at least that we think are worse than us. And Father, in our pride, we don't like to acknowledge the wickedness of our own lives. We don't like to acknowledge the sinfulness of our own sin. We like to excuse our sin, to come up with reasons why our sin is okay, why it's not really such a big deal, instead of just owning it for what it is, for wickedness and iniquity. Father, forgive us of this great sin of not acknowledging our sin. And then seeing our sin and the greatness of it, may we see your provision to remove our sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we, in repentance and faith, come to Christ, confessing our sin, and in him find cleansing and forgiveness so that we could stand in your presence. And having experienced your cleansing and forgiveness, may we be found a people who worship you, not just with our lips, but with our lives, endeavoring to live in a new obedience to your law and have thankfulness for what you have done for us. To this end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we